Log Talk Radio.
Hi, this is World Form Zen Fighting Champion John Chung, and you're listening to the AMAA Legends and Pioneers Radio Blog Show with Professor Gary Lee and the Sport Karate Museum Archives, connecting the history one warrior at a time. Enjoy.
Well, thank you, John. Aloha, everybody, and much mahalo. Welcome to our show tonight on a Tuesday night, and I want to say thank you. We're up to over 13,000 listeners now, and we've been on the air for 8 years. But before we talk about what we've done with the museum, I always like to introduce my producer, the man that believed in me 8 years ago and put me on the air, and also the publisher of the New History Journal book. His name is Jesse Bowen. Auntie Bowen, are you there, sir?
I am, sir. How are you doing?
I'm excited. I'm exhausted. But I'm so excited that the book is out and we're going to actually introduce it October 1st. So I want to tell everybody about it. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm really excited. I've had quite a few calls of people, to, you know, thanking me and that they're impressed with the book. And it's actually up on Barnes & Noble, and it's also on Amazon available. It's on sale now. On those two platforms, there's about 40,000 platforms that it's going to be listed on. So, you know, we're really excited about the book and really hope that it meets up to everyone's expectations. You know, my team put a lot of hard work into it and to, you know, make sure that it's something that that'll be around for a long time. So, you know, we're really grateful for that. So, yeah, I'll be in Houston not this Thursday, but Thursday week. And you know, we have on Friday, we have the book release and book signing. Then we have the ring presentation. So, you know, hey, you know, we're doing great and getting ready for the next project.
Yes, sir. Speaking of next week, we've got the Power of Women event where we're honoring, you know, the ladies that's been beside the men all these years. And, you know, guys, it's going to be cool. We've got grandmothers and brothers and aunts and daughters and sisters, I'll come in to pay. Well, we've got a great show plan. We got a dinner, a banquet, and then we've got a ninth degree black belt exam right before your ceremony. And we'll be honoring also on Friday night Gary Smith, the co-founder of the Black Karate Federation. And on Saturday night, we'll be honoring Jenny Kless and Chris Minshew. Now, Chris was a NBL world champion point fighting. And Jenny Kless is an international forms champion. But we're going to say thank you to the women because they deserve it. But, you know, thank you so much for what you've done, Hachi Bowen. I appreciate you so much. And you've dreamed those two very deeply. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was Hachi Jesse Bowen, the producer of the radio show, but also the publisher with the Elite Publications of doing the new history journal book of the ambassadors and history journals that we've created through the years. And the debut is October 1st in Houston, Texas, at the West Chase Marriott. For more information, you can call 713-483-0476. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there's two guys that put up with me, and they helped me a lot with this show. One of them is, well, Mr. Lewis, Joe Lewis gave him to me years ago, and I've adopted him. His name is Dean Pyle. Are you there, Dean?
Yes, Dean. Yes, sir, I'm here. I was having to give a lecture.
I know. Well, Dean, I've got a great show tonight, and I really want you to pay attention because this is one of the greatest fights we ever had. And did you meet him? You haven't met him yet, have you? You haven't met Mr. Martini yet, have you?
Do what?
You never met Mr. Martini, did you?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so. Okay, let me go on. The other gentleman that co-hosts this radio show with me, he's my authority in Tang Sudo. His name is A.J. Perry. Hey, Gary, are you there?
I'm here. How are you, Gary?
Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Doing great. Doing great.
Good. Good. you work it out and stepping on glass and doing what you do best, right?
Yeah, we had a great workout tonight, black belt classes. And,
cool.
Got home.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, those are my two co-hosts, Mr. A.J. Perry and Mr. Dean Piles. Now, I'm excited about this show. And I'm only excited about it because I've known this gentleman for a long time, but within the past 2 years, I've got to know him pretty well. But he was one of the greatest fighters that America ever produced. Now, I think it right, it's called Rinbukai. I'm not really sure, but I think he'll correct me. Anyway, him and a man named Leo Fong, which you've heard me talk about quite a few times, they particularly have a school in Stockton, California. Now, Leo, as you know, was a boxer, kung fu guy. And this gentleman, Mr. McKinney, was his Rinbukai style. But he was one of the best fighters, and he was also chosen to fight with the New Gladiators, the official team that was sponsored by Elvis Presley and coached by the great Ed Parker Sr., rest in peace. And they went to Europe, and we're going to talk about that. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, the one that I'm really excited about talking about, the one and only Ron Marchese. Ron, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm sorry.
I know. I made you turn red, didn't I? Because you don't
overdoing the introduction.
I know.
All martial artists are starting to do that.
I got so many questions to ask you. I'm going to start off with, how did you get started? Did I pronounce it right? Rinbukai. How do you pronounce it?
Yeah, Rinbukai.
Rinbukai.
Yeah.
Now, how did you get started?
Training Martial Arts
first?
Association. Right. The first instructor had, I started martial arts in August 1964.
Wow.
And it was the person who taught me was a gentleman. He had trained over in Japan. He was in the service over there. And he came back, and he was a sheriff in the department. And they would, just a couple guys would practice. And I started there with him. And, of course, I had to pay the big bucks then. You know, it was $15 a month. And we used the Stockton Judo Club on the nights that they didn't use it. So it was, we fought with equipment on back then, the headgear and stuff like that. So it was full contact.
And that was before even equipment was really active in sport karate in America.
It was kendo equipment, it was the bogu, the bogu, the kendo. Yeah, I know, I see these styles that come later and they come out with it. Equipment, and they say, oh, yeah, we're doing it. Well, some styles of some in Japan, they were doing it for decades before that. And it's,
right.
But that's, that's who I started.
Leo, and you guys had a school in California.
All right. I started in August, and I met Leo in beginning of 65. Maybe the end of 64, 65, he was a Methodist minister, and, we were talking stuff like that, and he taught a couple nights at this school that he had a place, and we just kind of got along and stuff, and then he threw a tournament with William Chung, who was over in the Bay Area, and it was called the Western Karate
William Chung, that guy, right?
No, his name was William Chung. He was a Korean stylist too.
Okay.
Leo practiced mostly. He was with Kang, Professor Kang, out of Sacramento. Because most of Leo's experience was in boxing. That's his love. Matter of fact, we just talked today. We were talking on the phone for about a half hour and talking about the different things and what people say about Bruce Lee and the thing. All the misconception about.
Well, he was around Bruce.
What?
He trained with Bruce. Is that correct?
No, wait. Yeah, I'm not even going to go there. Okay.
Okay.
You know, it was the thing. They had a relationship. They got along, but not.
I hear you.
Anyway,
so
it's,
you guys opened the school in Stockton, California. When you started your career, I want to ask you one other question. How did you get chosen to go to Europe and fight on that team with John DeTimidan and Benny and Tom Kelly and everybody?
That was in 1974. That's 10 years later, okay? Ed
right.
Parker, I guess, even though he was a Temple Shiloh, you know, and had a really good organization and a lot of really good players, he gave me a chance to go to the Tournament of Champions in 1968, okay? Because Joe, I guess, had a disagreement with the guys there, with Henry Cho, and so I got to go. Well, he gave me the chance, you know, and they paid my way and stuff. Well, I won. I won the whole thing. So, and he is always
You all remember in the New Gladiators film, because I've watched it hundreds of times. I literally have. They drew blood on you. Someone hit you really hard, and you went back through them like a lawnmower on rocket fuel. It was beautiful. And also on the bottom of your gi, it had TCB on it, which
that was embarrassing. Let me show you.
You had to wear flare gi pants, didn't you? I love it.
Yeah, well, they made those. Yeah, well, they got those were Tokaido gis.
Yeah,
those were actually Tokaido gis, but then they went and they had a person who altered them. Putting the names on it, putting the little buttons on it,
and so
when you kick, they would flare out and stuff like that. But those were Tokaido gis, and I think I got it stored someplace in one of my closets somewhere.
Well, I want you to will it to me, okay? Because I want it to be okay.
Yeah.
Now you hooked up with a good friend of mine that we lost a few months ago, and that was John DeTimidat, and you actually came to his roast, and you know, I felt that was very, very special, because I know you don't get out, and you've probably been approached by everybody, but you came to the museum event. Now, how did you feel about that, with that event coming there, and being around all those great people?
Yeah, I told you I went to Las Vegas just to see John, because I hadn't seen him since.
Yeah.
We competed in that tournament together. John DeTimidat, Darnell Garcia, you know, Benny Yachides, you know.
Great people. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, you're definitely one of them. Now, I want to talk about the tournament. You put together an event, an A-rated event called the Top 10 Nationals, or what was it called?
Yeah,
exactly?
we tried to get as many of the ones that were ranked by Black Belt Magazine. Then
that
was kind of, you know, before everybody started doing their own ranking, coming out with their own magazines and their own ranking, and all the organizations, they started, you know, trying to get their own champions. So, but we wanted to, you know, give everybody a sample. They, like you said, you know, and the top is who won, Cynthia. That was her first tournament. Johnson. You got third
in
place.
America. And Cindy won first, and she won grand. The first grand that she ever won was at your tournament that year. I'll never forget it, because I took third. Because I've won more third places than anybody in the first round. Okay. But anyway, that was a great event. And you know what I remember most of all? I remember being treated like I was important. Now, I was just a rated fighter. I was a nobody. But you guys treated me
anybody that competes is important.
Yes,
they'll get out there, you know, they don't just talk the talk, they get out there to walk the walk. And that's what's important. Is that I look always look at everybody. If you know, got enough steps to walk out there, not knowing what's gonna happen and stuff like that. And you know, especially in the sparring.
Absolutely.
You know what it's like to anybody that's been done that.
Well, you know what? I'm going to make you smile. I still got my third place trophy. I'm looking at it right now. I still got it. because I just wanted to be known as a good fighter, a good kata guy, and be referable. And that's, you know, I didn't really care about the trophies or the fame. I just wanted to be referable. And that's what karate was to me. And you gave me platform to do that. I appreciate that so much. Now, speaking of talk the talk, walk the walk, I've got a segment that's called The Six. So don't go nowhere. I'm going to bring you back. We're going to play the Legends name game.
Okay.
Is that okay, Ron?
Okay.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking to Mr. Ron Martini, one of the pioneers and great karate stars of the 60s and 70s. But as I said, we have a couple segments that are a lot of fun, and we've had them now for quite a while now. And the first one is called The Six. That's very simple. The Six is a group of people that are put together to basically form their opinions on different topics that we talk about. Now, tonight's topic is going to be really interesting. It's talking about people who kind of fake you out, and they act like they talk the talk. Well, they talk the talk, but you don't know how they walk the walk until you actually see them. So we're going to ask our six panelists how they feel about people who really, well, I'll make it kind of simple. How many false umbrellas can you wear before people realize you're not as dangerous as you are? Talk the talk, walk the walk. My first person is my only lady on the panel. She's a former PKL national champion. She studies Shorter Karate, and she's a Kung Fu, well, I would say expert. Her name is Karen Flasher. Karen, are you there?
I'm here.
Well, I know you're very opinionated, but I want you to kind of say how you feel you find people to be fake or maybe they're not themselves.
Well, I have found that the more shtick that they have coming in, the more costumes and the more swagger, I can expect the least on the mat. I come from judo, but I would see people come in with, there's one guy that has a huge organization, and he comes in dressed like Robin Hood almost, and he has a big old hat, and people just bow and scrape. He's got his harem around him, and I'm like, what is this guy? But you never see him out there doing anything. But he does promote, and so he's got a huge circle of friends, and I just look at him like, what are you all about? And it's just, but he'll call you and talk for hours. But when it comes time to get out there and show me, I don't see it. And there's a few of them still running around here.
Well, the martial arts have a tendency to breed people like that, but, you know, we just have to deal with them, I guess. And, you know, I mean, understand them. I mean, back 30 years ago, I didn't really tolerate them too much, but now I understand them. But thank you, Karen. I want to move right along here. My next person I'd like to bring up, you're the best, Karen. I love you, honey. I really do. Now, this next man has probably won more great as a male performer. I'm talking about the Greek, the Golden Greek. Demetrius Sabanis' Golden Greek Award to anybody in Texas. Amazing. He's a great fighter. He comes from the great Fred Simon. I call him D.E., but his name is David Chambers. He's the president of the AOK, Texas organization that runs sport karate in Texas. D.E., are you there? D.E., can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you, buddy. Now, how do you feel about, how do you see people who are fake or how they come across as being this or that? They talk the talk, but how do you feel about it?
Well, I think it's kind of a couple of ways to actually know that. You got many martial artists out there. If you take a look at a couple of things, one thing would be, if the person is always talking about what they can do,
and always talking about what they have done, and that's their biggest conversation, then you can count that as hint number one.
That's right.
If their biggest conversation is about what they can do, have done, will do, and I do believe this. I love the martial art and competition world, but the competition world, you know, it's not the main thing. The main thing is about the characters. It's about what they're doing for the community, what they have given back. I think that's a major part. But their biggest part is bragging on how they can kick, punch, or block, or what they've done. That's one. The second way to know is by the fruit they bring. You can recognize if, you know, how what they have they produced now, whether it be students, whether it be people that have helped. But if those things are lacking, then more than likely, you know, they probably left off. But again, that's two ways that you can take it to the bank. You can take it to the bank. You can recognize it. Anytime you walk up and that person starts talking about what they've done and can't do, you can realize they probably came and told me that's a good indicator. So as a martial artist, you want to focus on what you can give back. What you can do without,
you know, what,
somebody else how great you are.
You know what, D, you're pretty wise to be a banker, ex-banker. I'll give you credit.
I appreciate you, sir.
Wise. Well, I appreciate you being on the six. And moving right along, part of the six is an amazing group of people. And this man, as I introduced earlier, he is a Tang Soo-Do master. He lives in Cleveland, Ohio. And he's actually a spokesman for the military award through the Sport Car Museum. AJ Perry, are you there, sir?
Yes, sir. How are you?
How do you feel about we're talking about these guys who talk the talk, but then when they're under pressure, they can't do the walk? How do you feel about it?
Well, talk is cheap. Usually in martial arts, a person's reputation precedes them if they've been around a while. And a person that has to talk about their reputation, you know, there's something lacking right there. The tin can that rattles most is the empty one. So a person's reputation shall precede them in exactly what they've done in the past. So that's how you have to judge somebody as far as, you know, whether performance or what have you. The performances in the past, not by what they talk about. It's pretty simple.
Well, you know what? I brag about you a lot, walking on glass and sticking nails in your arms. You should hire me for a publicist. But, you know, thank you for your opinion. It means so much. Now, moving right along, I'm excited about this man. He's a 10th-degree black belt. I call him professor because he is a professor, but he's probably one of the smartest men I've met and got to know. He's the editor of the Sport Car Museum webpage. That's why it's looking so good here recently. I'm talking about Mr. Tom Spellman. Tom, are you there, sir?
Yeah, I am, but I'm a little worried because with that kind of intro and stuff like that, I'm afraid that if I open my mouth and talk, I may actually blow my whole cover and how intelligent I may not be. I'll do my best shot. One of the things that I always recognize with some of the people that I found to be, you know, have a lot of integrity and a lot of, you know, truth about themselves is that they have a tendency to be more watchful and studying than talking and drawing attention to themselves. I remember in 67 and 68 when Bruce Lee was at the Internationals, I would study him studying other people. He didn't really talk much, but he really paid attention. And you could learn a lot by watching who he watched and what they were doing and realize some of the things that he was, you know, maybe looking at and trying to figure it out. And Joe Louis was the same way back in the early 60s. He would be off on the side. He was never in the midst of things, you know, trying to be the center of attention. And he would study and he would think and he would calculate. And I think that's one of the big things. And another big piece of the puzzle for some of the greatest people that I had met in my career, in my time, is the ones that talk more about their instructors and what they said, what they did, than ever talked about what the person himself claimed to have done.
Right.
And so that's a really important thing. I try and be mindful that when I'm teaching that I'm, you know, I'm quoting Sensei Smith or other instructors that I've had and giving them credit for what it is, and doing the very best I can to be a good steward of that information. And other people, the stewards of information are not necessarily what they are. They're more about trying to develop their own, you know, brand so that they can go ahead and sell themselves. And that generally turns me off, and I think a lot of people will walk away from that unless they're drawn to, you know, P.T. Barnum, you know, kind of individuals.
Right. Well, you know, again, wisdom. I love hearing you talk and having your wisdom because you've been around a long time, and you were around a lot of the early instructors other than the next man I'm going to introduce, but the real Japanese karate guys, and I respect your opinion very much. Now, I want to introduce this next man as a very special man. He is a co-founder of the Black Karate Federation, known as the BKF. Him, along with Ron Chappell and Cliff Stewart, rest in peace, they created an empire of a culture of fighters that was really amazing. But he is the founder or co-founder. He helped create the idea. I'm talking about the great Jerry Smith. Are you there, Jerry?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, I try to introduce you the best way I can, but I can do better. Okay, give me another shot. Okay.
No,
let me try it one more time. This guy was under Joe Lewis for almost 50 years, and Joe was, well, anyway, Jerry Smith was Joe Lewis's protege, and also, are you ready for this? He worked for Black Belt Magazine in the early days when it was starting and building its reputation. And you know what he did, ladies and gentlemen? At John the Timidaz Gross, he gave me Joe Lewis's black belt for the museum. And he's an amazing fighter. He's an amazing trainer of champions. Is that better, Uncle Jerry? Is that a better introduction?
That's fantastic. Thank you.
Okay. Well, listen, how do you feel about spotting fake martial artists? Or have you come across a few?
Well, I am not going to be as articulate as your other guests have been on this subject, because been in the martial arts for over 50 years, you develop a BS meter, and right. So I really don't spend much time, listening to BS or someone, you know. It's built in. That's all I have to say about that. But what I would like to do is I would love to ask Ron Marchini a question, if I may, because I really respect him. And I
Ron, are you there? Ron, are you there?
Yeah. Hey, Jerry.
Go ahead,
okay, Jerry. What are you
going
to do?
Yeah,
I'm going to say something nobody's going to like.
Yeah.
What?
Ron. I wanted to know if you, first of all, every time I talk to you, I found out something that we have in common. Years ago, when I was maybe 14 or 15 years old, lived in the project, and the closest school to me was in Little Tokyo, and it was the Nippon Kempo, which was called Japanese Kempo, and we worked out in kendo armor. Once you learn how to fight like that, I never knew that about you. Once you learn how to fight like that, man, that changes your whole forward pressure in fighting. Anyway, I just wanted to throw that in. And the next question I want to ask you is, did you ever get a chance to work out with Miss Oyama's fighter? The 16-year-old Jeff Klein, who was taken to Japan, and you want to – did you ever get a chance to meet Jeff Klein?
We were on the same team together. You know, we were in the 1970 World Championships of Wuko in Tokyo.
Yeah.
And we had teams. Yeah. And, hey, he was good. He was, you know.
I got a chance to meet him at the International in team championships. So everybody was and Mr. Oshima had a team. And I drew Jeff Klein, and we fought. And it was just what so I was wondering. I figured you knew him. I just kind of had that feeling.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I knew. Hey, there's so many people that were so good in the martial arts center that, that didn't get any publicity. You know, that it really wasn't pushed out. Like you guys with the, you know, the BKF and stuff, they had a tremendous amount of good people. And Steve Saunders, he's the one of the ones that never got the you know, attention that he should have gotten outside and stuff. But, you know, when we were starting, you were in the 60s, right?
Yeah.
And most of the people at that time, hey, racist is not. If you weren't Japanese or what, and it was mostly Japanese because the Koreans still hadn't made a big impact then, but that's what everybody thought. If you were going to, you know, be great, you had to be, you know, you had to train with the Japanese instructor. You had to go to the thing. I know. I went to Japan. I trained with Oyama at his dojo, you know, and Ichiba Kuro and stuff. You know, I went Yamaguchi, Dogen and stuff. But they're human like everybody else. But you guys had a great – I can't think – what is his name? Who was the preacher, the guy that was doing the preaching after in your group?
You were Donnie Williams.
Yeah,
well,
Donnie Williams,
right. Oh, I love Donnie. We got along really good. I haven't seen him since – oh, God.
I had a feeling that you knew Jeff Klein because – I pulled him purposely because I knew how good he was. We did a cover on him when he came back from on Black Belt Magazine, and I got a chance to fight him. And he was really a wonderful, wonderful guy. He was young. He was really young. I mean, but he was really great.
Yeah, I get stuff sent to me on, you know, Facebook and stuff from the guys from the Japanese associations, you know, Ken Osborne and all those guys, and, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But we didn't
Frank
have a thing
Smith,
like
Tony
Toners.
Toners. I mean, there
Frank
were some
Smith.
Really amazing JKA guys back then. And, you know, it was an amazing time. But anyway, Uncle Jerry, thank you for giving your opinion on approaching those kind of people like that. It means a lot.
use the old Bogu Kendo equipment. And
Well, I got one more guy, guys. Dean, are you there? Dean.
Yes, sir. I'm right here.
Okay. Isn't it fun listening to these guys? I love it. So, how do you feel about, in a little bit, but Wolverine's going to talk about it, but right now I want Dean Piles. How do you see or deal with the people that claim to be this and that, and they do all the talking, they don't do the walking? How do you feel about it?
Well, you know, it's just like everybody has stated before. You know, you see these guys at competitions all the time. They go in and they never compete, but, you know, they want to be the first one to give their opinion on what somebody should do to win or, you know, tell somebody what they should do to make their game better, make more power, do this or do that, but you never see them make more power, do anything. Or they you know, they're more involved in displaying their certificates than, you know, showing people what they can do training. A long time ago, when I was younger, I made a bunch of people mad that, you know, were obviously been into martial arts for a while. Maybe I think what I did is I made the people that were phonies mad because they were interviewing me on Channel 12 on the Sports Corner. And the guy kind of asked me the same question is this right here, because it was about, the interview was about winning a fight. Then he asked me, well, you know, there's a lot of people out there. How do you know who's real and who's not? And I said something to the effect of, you know, I don't care if you show me a certificate the size of a tractor and trailer. If you cannot demonstrate good skills, then I don't care who you trained under, who you say you trained under, then I need to see something that would reflect your training under that person. Something in your attitude, something in your skill sets, you know what I'm saying? Something that will show me that you trained under those type people or under those people and that you have that skill set. And, you know, some people will confuse confidence with being cocky when people are just being confident. You know, like Joe Louis, most people come across like, man, he's cocky. But technically, he was just very confident, and he knew people thought he was cocky, so he would just run with it. And he thought it was hilarious because to him that was a big joke. The more he could get people to get stirred up, the better it was. You know, he did not mind. But he did not mind telling people, I mean, literally, we was at a seminar at a kung fu school. He literally says to the kung fu people, starts finger painting. It's 2,000 years old. Don't work. Ball your fist up. Elbow in front of your hip. Drive it in. Make that power. That's what's worked. He didn't mind roasting you and telling you because why? Because he could back it up. And if you have the skills to tell somebody that, then you need to have the skill set to back it up and be able to demonstrate it to show the truth in that. Now, a lot of people would have said, well, you know, he's just talking, but he wasn't talking because he could back it up. So my thing is people that try to demonstrate or put on a lot of certificates or I've got rank under this person or that person, but don't do any demonstrating or getting out on the mat, showing their skills or showing their technique, I don't believe in them people at all.
Well, thank you so much for your opinion. And ladies and gentlemen, that was called the six different people with different opinions, but different attitudes and wisdom. That's very interesting to listen to people talk about different things that people maybe not want to talk about, but should. And that's what we did tonight. Now, moving right along, one of the great segments that we've created is bringing on an inventor of the virtual reality self-defense enhanced training. It's really amazing. I'll even talk about it. His name is Dr. Reginald Lee, and he invented this along with a man named Rick Shanahan. Dr. Lee, are you there?
Yes, good evening, sir. How are you doing this evening?
Good evening. Do you realize who I've got on the show tonight, Reggie?
Amazing people.
Everyone's presenter are amazing.
Yeah.
It is amazing, but talk about the amazing invention that you created, that you've allowed me to put the History Journal portals and the village. Why don't you explain it? Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Reginald Lee, inventor of SetVR.app.
Yes. We continue to be super excited about SetVR, self-defense enhancing training, and virtual reality, whereby one can continue to practice your skills in self-defense against a virtual reality hologram that will attack you when you least expect it with random attacks. To improve your skills in evasion by moving linear, angular, or circular, to practice to move, strike, and block in tandem, to develop muscle memory, and to develop a reflex response to neutralize without hesitation. We're also super excited about our additions to our program to include what's called the History Portal Demo, whereby Professor Gary Lee will be introduced as the Wisdom Warrior. We also introduced the practice mode, the warm-up program, and also a cool-down program. We incorporated this program of a cool-down program for those who are involved in health and wellness and self-defense can appreciate a program which involves yoga, exercises, and a meditation program. My partner, Richard Shanahan, my marketing director, Marie Shanahan, and my developers are super excited about this platform whereby you can practice your skills in self-defense whenever you want. The program is compact and portable. You can put the program, this Oculus headset, into a knapsack and take it to your hotel room. Take it out anytime when you want and continue to practice your skills. You can even practice during a time of a pandemic. You continue to practice social distancing. With the use of an Oculus Rift or Oculus headset, you'll be transported to a virtual reality platform whereby an attacker will attack you when you least expect it with random attacks. The goal of SetVR is to have you to be able to neutralize an attack or a threat that is sudden, unpredictable, and random. To practice to improve your skills in evasion through angular, linear, and circular movements to avoid and to place you in an opportunistic position to neutralize an attacker to improve your skills in timing, speed, accuracy, as you develop muscle memory, and subsequently my goal is to develop a reflex response to a threat or a stimulus to neutralize without hesitation. Just for example, if you place your hand on a hot stove, you move your hand quickly without even thinking. That's a reflex response. We plan to have this program and continue to practice with it and develop these skills. This is a platform where you can practice to utilize what you've been taught in your dojos and schools and forms and katas, and a program for application to practice anytime, anywhere, when you want. We plan to have future programs in different scenarios of multiple attackers, a home invasion, a barroom setting, and even in a war room setting. The program involves a program whereby you can watch your progress on a daily basis or an hourly basis through a metrics program whereby we'll record the number of successful punches, the number of blocks, number of evasions, whether you're right or left side dominant, and record the endurance spent as time spent in the experience. You'll be able to improve by the importance of creating a diversion when you grasp the attacker's arms and create a, what's called a 1 to 3 second pause, a natural response, a window of opportunity for neutralization. We plan to have this program to improve your endurance and stamina through this vigorous aerobic program. We will continue to update SetVR in the future to help you practice to maximize the application of self-defense when you want and where you want. So please continue to visit our website at setvr.app. That's S as in Sam, E as in Edward, T as in Tom, V as in Victor, R as in Robert. SetVR, self-defense enhancement training in virtual reality. We continue to practice to be proud to endorse Professor Gary Lee and the Sports Karate Museum to be the future platform of his vision of the History Portal. With that being said, Professor Gary Lee, some few words about your vision of the History Portal.
You sound like a doctor. Well, my vision is really simple. You're allowing me to teach people about sport karate. We're going to create a village, which we've already done, and that village eventually houses swords or merchandise people can get. But each time you go into a part of the village, you're going to be hit with questions and answers. You know, like, what is the difference between Taekwondo and Taekwondo? What is the difference between Kung Fu and Kung Fu? Who is Ron Martini? Who is Gene LaBelle? It doesn't matter. We're going to teach you to be smart about sport karate. Eventually, you work your way out into a forest. Now, the forest will have the waterfalls and the monkeys and the tigers and all the good stuff. A hologram will appear, as Dr. Reed talked about, and it will attack you, and you will defend yourself, and you will beat it. When you do, the wisdom warrior will appear. You'll say, okay, Ron Martini, are you educated? And Ron will look in his knapsack. He thought he's answered all the questions and answers, but the wisdom warrior says, okay, you have to go back. I'm sorry. So Ron goes back and gets smarter and smarter and smarter about sport karate in America, where it started, how it came about, who was involved. And then he comes back into the forest. This time, the hologram is a samurai with a katana, a long sword, a wakizashi, a short sword, and a tanto, a knife. And you have to defend yourself with Okinawa kabuto weapons, like a kama, a sai, nunchuk, or bow. But you're learning the difference between Japanese weapons and Okinawa weapons. You're being educated. When you beat up the samurai, which you will, the wisdom warrior will come back and he'll say, okay, Ron, are you educated? This time, Mr. Martini is. And that wisdom warrior will take you to a golden gate, and that gate will be the portals. Now, portals are used on the Internet to show things. Like if I was going to sell you a house, I'd show you the kitchen, the bathroom, the garage, the portal. Well, it's the same thing, except these portals will be the history of various people. Now, we're going to start with the core group, Mr. Alan Steen, Mr. Mike Stone, Mr. J. Pat Burleson, Mr. Patrick McCarthy, and, you know, we've got core group, but then every month we'll add a new history general. So it's not only fun, but it's progressive, it's educational, and it takes virtual reality to a whole new life. I want to say thank you, Dr. Lee, for allowing the Sport Crowded Museum to be a part of it. It means so much. And I hope you're staying safe, sir.
Thank you, sir, for having me on the show. Thank you.
Well, I'll see you in a week. And you actually bringing the Oculus Quest to Houston so people can try it on and use it and see what we're talking about.
Yes, I just want to mention one thing about my instructor, Sensei Richard Wigginton. He always talks about the balloon going up. When we bring our Oculus headsets on our virtual reality program and our hologram attacker, the balloon's going to go up when we put our program in use. So we're excited about this, and we can't wait to show everybody about what we have.
Well, I'm excited to have you, and it means so much that you spend time with me every week. We educate people on the self-defense enhanced training and virtual reality techniques that you developed. So God bless you, Reggie. Take care, buddy, okay?
Thank you, sir. Have a good evening.
You're welcome. Now, another segment that I really enjoy doing is the alter ego of the man you met earlier, being Kyle. Now, he created a brand. It's called the Wolverine. That's his alias. The best way to explain it is that he says what he means what he says, and he can back it up. So every week I take off the leash of the Wolverine. I let him speak how he feels. Now, this week we've got an interesting topic. I want the Wolverine to tell me how the Wolverine, a fake martial artist, and how he would handle it when he realized it. Wolverine?
Yes.
How do you feel about what I just said? How do you see of someone who's fake, and how would the Wolverine handle it?
Well, hey, you know, Professor, you know, if I see some dog poo, I tell you, hey, don't step in that dog poo. You know, if I see somebody that's fake, I mean, I don't normally. You know, I try to make it a habit not to call people out or judge people for what they're doing. I know that it's going to come back to get them in the end. You know, we just do what we do. But when people, you know, like I say, and like everybody said, you know, there's one thing if you're talking about your martial arts school and you're trying to sign up a client or somebody has asked you about yourself. But when you just approach, you're like, hey, I'm so-and-so, I'm world champion, I'm this, I'm that, I'm the, you know, the this and that. And it's these people that give themselves rank also that just is just weird to me. And, you know, I always see a fake martial artist as people that couldn't hack it under an instructor as yourself or Joe Louis or Michael DePasquale, you know. And so they look for other avenues to try to be to the top. And they look for, as we've talked about a lot, Professor, umbrellas to kind of associate themselves with maybe with champions or with people so that they can be under that umbrella. You know, it's just, like I say, I try to leave judging to God. I know what I think, and I will, you know, think about that. I'm not going to, I'm going to treat them like this. If they come around me, I'm going to treat them like a puppy. I'm just not going to feed them, and I'm not going to play with them, and eventually they'll either run away or, you know, they just starve to death. You know, I'm just going to get rid of them that way and just let them kind of go away. I mean, I've had people come into my school looking at my pictures on the wall and then tell me that they got a black belt under Dean Piles. I've also had people, believe it or not, come into my school and tell me that they've got a black belt under A.J. Perry. And I'll say, oh, you train under A.J. Perry? And it's, I'll start asking, well, let me see these cuts. And then as soon as I see a move, I know they're full of it. You know, well, I can't remember that one. It was like, no. You didn't attain a black belt under A.J. Perry, and then you can't remember one of your cuts.
Who is A.J. Perry? Who's he?
Yeah, well, first of all, that's what I said. I said, who the heck is A.J. Perry? I don't know A.J. Perry.
A.J., no, Dean's talking bad about you.
You know, I tell him. You know, I'm like, hey. And then I let him in on it and go, well, you know, I know AJ real good. I'll talk to him and tell him about you, you know. And then they don't come back, you know. So, you know, it's things like that people will do or people will say. You know, I've had people say, oh, yeah, I compete on NASCAR. I compete in the NBL. Oh, okay, yeah, I didn't know that because I didn't see it. And, you know, I mean, if you were there, you were there. I mean, I don't try to go around talking to everybody there, but I'm at a lot of competition. Some people may not know I was there. Joey Shiflett come up to me one time. He said, everybody said you was here. I never saw you. And it was like the last day, and he was like, there you are. You are here. But that's because I'm just sticking to my divisions or my students. It's those guys, like you say, they show up at competitions. They got this crazy uniform that is generally mismatched. Like I say, I've seen a guy wearing Akmoras with this Kempo belt and a Taekwondo trim jacket, you know, and I'm like, you know, and his style was, it was, you know, something, and it was something with some Chinese lettering in it. I'm like, what in the mixed bag of chicken? And look, me and AJ's had this, we were talking about this on Facebook. There's difference in mixed martial arts and mixed Hong Kong fooey or a bowl of gumbo. You know, you can throw some stuff in a bowl, and it might, and you eat it, it might not be good. That's not mixed. That's what some mixed martial arts are. Then there's some mixed martial arts that there's a science to, like gumbo. So that's a different story. But what I'm saying is when you're mixing the uniforms and the stuff they're doing and, the, you know, they're all over the place, that's when you know, they're full of it. And I just tend to kind of shut them down by just not really interacting or talking back.
Let me tell you a real short story. I was at a big tournament, and a guy came up walking to me, and he had a patch on his shoulder on the wrong side. First of all, it was upside down. He was on a black uniform. Now, back in the 70s, I trained with a man named Tadashi Nakamura, who was under Kyokushin, and he gave me two Kyokushin patches that I feel I earned, but you couldn't buy them. They were given to me by Sensei Nakamura. And so when I saw this guy with the patch upside down and on a black uniform on the wrong side of his chest, I went crazy. I didn't put a Wolverine on him, but I went crazy. I'll just say that. Anyway, that's the
topic. But, Professor, I have saw you pull a Wolverine on somebody at competition for wearing their sword upside down.
Well, that was at the battle. But, you know, here's the deal. When you perform in public, and I was always taught that there's always somebody in the audience that knows what they're doing and they're watching you, so don't mess up. So, you know, I just don't really like to tolerate people who try to fake human ways into people's lives as a martial art. But I appreciate your opinion, and I appreciate the Wolverine. So, God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the Wolverine, alias Dean Pyle. And I appreciate the opinion of the six, and I appreciate Dean Pyle, and I appreciate Dr. Lee, and, of course, my producer, Hunchy Bowen. But I want to come back to my guest, Ron Martini. Are you there, sir?
Yeah, I'm just listening.
We're kind of radical, aren't we? Now we're going to play the Legends name game. I'm going to hit you with a name, and you talk about them for 2 minutes, and then we'll go to another name. Are you ready?
Yeah, I don't know if I can give it to you. Okay.
Okay, I'm going to hit you with a name and talk about them for 2 minutes, and then I'll hit you with another name. Here we go.
Okay, I'm only going to comment.
Ed Parker Sr.
Okay. Ed Parker was Kempo stylist, had a great organization. You know, even though we were different styles, he was Kempo and I was Japanese style, he gave me a break. He was the one that, you know, you say that we let you, you know, when you came in, you won, and that gave you a break. Well, Ed Parker gave me the break, you know. when I was cool. back and compete, you know, in New York. So he was great. I mean, all the tournaments that he sent me to, you know, Chicago, you know, New York, Hawaii, you know, Europe and stuff. It's, yeah, no, I have, Ed was great for me, you know. He, cool. And he has some really great people. Unfortunately, when he passed on, they, you know, when
well,
the caps away
in
Moscow play.
One of your teammates in Europe, Mr. Tom Kelly, my friend.
Oh, Tom was great.
Tom Kelly.
He, yeah, Tom, he was super. I like Tom. We got along really well. You know, he had some takedowns on guys and that just, you know, because he was big. He was big. He was strong.
Yeah.
He had a great attitude. You know, he wasn't, he didn't have an ego like, you know, hey, look at me, I'm some, but, you know, I like Tom.
He was dangerous for the takedown. I mean, he really was.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He got a hold of you. He got a hold of you. You're going to be on a world of hurt.
Yeah. Well, you said, you mentioned Hawaii. I got to mention two of my heroes and mentors, and one we lost here recently, but the other one is still alive living in the Philippines. So I'll talk about him first. Mike Stone.
Mike Stone. Okay. Mike's in the Philippines right now. And we never competed against each other, but we competed on teams together, you know. And he was an animal. You know, he wasn't what you say your classic martial artist. He had his own style, you know. And he was there to
win. I heard he was brutal.
You know. And he was just—he just had that move. He was constantly moving, and then would just come in there, you know, to get the guys. But when he was in there, he was an animal. But he was outside, he was great, you know. It's
well, the sweetest
we always
man
got
I ever
along,
met.
So.
Exactly.
But we never
now,
competed.
Speaking of sweet men, other Hawaiians, they both are our lives. John Natividad, rest in peace. Now you knew John pretty well, didn't you?
Yeah. Yeah, John was, you know, he's a great guy. I mean, I've heard a lot of people say things about him and stuff that he was, you know, they all thought a lot of him, people in his organization and stuff. But, you know, he was with Chuck, you know, under him and stuff like that. But we were, I guess, a story with about John Natividad. We in the 72, they had the World Wuko Tournament in Paris. So we had the tryouts, you know, and this is run by Nishiyama and his Japanese system. Well, you had to go through elimination to get there anyway. I got there. John got there. And we were out really outsiders, okay? So John's fighting this one of the guys, and he punches the guy, and they disqualify him. Japanese terms, you never, and it was to the body. He went to the body. But the whole thing that was ironic about it is that before the tournament started or this elimination thing, they took us in the back, and the guy said, we want to pick the best people to represent us. So we're going to call points, but we won't call them. You know, we won't count them. So either if they'll either throw your flag to win or call it a draw, or give the other person the win, or neither one. Well, they got rid of John right away. I got it to the semifinals, right at the end of the thing, doing it, and I had a guy, and I was like 3-1 points, stuff. And they go to the thing, they call the flags, and they eliminate both of them. You know? And they had their team pick. You know, that was the guys with Tony Tolner's and Frank Smith and several other guys. And then
Tony Tolner's is the only man that claimed to beat Chuck Norris three times. Oh. And Frank Smith, I believe he was kicked out.
He did? Okay, he did in 1960. I can tell you, in 1966, March, at the California State Tournament in San Francisco, because that was my second tournament and I won the brown belt division, but they let us compete for the grand champion. Well, I ended up, this is my second tournament I ever competed in, and I ended up losing Tony, okay?
Yeah.
And then he fought Chuck, and he beat Chuck then.
Oh, wow.
So,
cool.
I've got pictures of him standing there and him holding, you know, the trophy. There's a lot of guys that got beat that people say, oh, he's never got beat. That's not true. You know, that's people rewriting history, changing their attitude like that. But Chuck had a great attitude all the time.
Hey, Ron, it's funny you say that because I know a guy, I'm not going to spin any names or anything, but he said he fought Chuck Norris in Toledo, and this was after Chuck Norris retired. A lot of that that goes on.
Oh, it does. It really does. It's unfortunate. But
well,
you know,
guys, I
want
to say
something
here. Thank you so much, Mr. Martini, for being on the show tonight and educating people on some old pioneer stuff. And I appreciate everybody. I really do every week. It means so much that we can share sport karate history to the America and literally to the world now. Yes, sir.
Gary?
Yes?
Tell everybody to eat their almonds.
Oh, I was
did you hear me?
That. Yeah, what
tell
are you doing now? You got an almond farm, all right?
Okay.
Tell me about how many acres you have in almonds.
Oh, not that many. We're small, girl. Yeah, you know, I got about 400 acres.
Oh, that's small.
Yeah,
that's
it's
right.
So small in California.
Because big corporations and stuff. But it's it's enough.
Hey, 400 acres it's not a skip in the yard. It's a pretty big place.
Yeah.
So God bless.
It's 125 trees to an acre. So.
Wow. I wouldn't want to walk around it.
Yeah.
Well,
any of the karate guys. And Jerry, if you ever come up this way, come by.
Oh, I wanted to tell you that after they, you know, I was about 13 or 14 with the Nippon Tempo with the Bulls, but then I transferred over to Nishiyama, All-American Karate Federation. So I've got a good background then and went to Okinawa and studied. But, every time I talk to you, I find out something different about you that I didn't know before.
I was lucky enough to meet all these guys, you know, the Oyama and Yamaguchi and Nakayama, which were not, but it's
my good friend Joe Goss. My good friend Joe Goss trained under Nishiyama. Yeah, he's black belt underneath him.
Well, that was good. Ray Dalkey, do you know Ray Dalkey?
Bert, I did.
Ray
Dalkey brought in Fumio DeMiros to say that they're good history generals too, but they're gone now. Didn't Ray pass away and Dan passed away? So, that's good history, guys. Thank you for being on the show tonight, Ron. I appreciate it.
Hey, it's nice meeting all you guys on the telephone. Anyway,
You bet, Ron.
Hey,
ladies and gentlemen, that's Mr. Ron Martini and the members of the Six and Dr. Reginald Lee and your host, your friend, I hope I'm your friend, Professor Gary Lee. And as we always say every week, we mean it from the heart. Mahalo and aloha. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Gary. Good night, everybody.
Hey, sir.